I'm your number one fan.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
My mom and dad are me.
Hello.
Hi.
Happy Tuesday.
It is Tuesday. Happy Tuesday. Okay. Welcome back to Killer Cuties Podcast.
That is us.
I'm KD. I thought
you were going to say, I'm here to talk about, like, correct yourself that only you are here to talk about me today. I was like, oh.
No.
I guess I'll just mute myself.
No, I was going to say we're KD, but it just didn't make sense. So personally am KD.
You are, and I am Cassidy.
Yes. And we're here today to talk about, the both of us, VHS Halloween.
Thank you. Yes. I would love to be involved if I could.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. There's no exclusion. Well, before we get into it, you came up with a fun little game.
I didn't create the game, but I did suggest we play.
Correct.
Yes. Some people might know of the 5-second rule game, where you basically give someone a category and they have 5 seconds to name 3 things that fit into that category. So that's what we're going to be doing. It's obviously horror related.
Because
That's what we do here.
/ Halloween related. Mine is, at least.
Okay, yeah. Anything that falls under the horror umbrella, I feel like, is fair game.
Yeah. And it's October.
It is.
We have to celebrate.
So true.
Are you ready?
Yeah. Katie's going to give me categories first.
Yes.
And I'll have 5 seconds to name 3 things.
Yes. Okay. Nervous. I don't have these in any, like, particular kind of order.
Okay.
Just the order in which they popped into my brain.
Sucks.
Okay. First category is movies that are slashers.
Scream, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street.
4.93.
Oh, just got it. Just got it.
Barely got it.
Barely got it in.
Good one, good one. I was trying to do these, and I still can't think of a third one for some of them, so...
Oh, great. Can't wait.
Yeah. I just don't think that fast. It's not you. It's me.
Got it.
Okay. Next one is Final Girls, the name of the character.
Sydney Prescott, Erin Harsin, and Emerald Haywood.
4.89.
Last names, too. That was...
That was crazy.
I'm proud of myself for that one.
That was crazy. Oops.
They're 3 of my favorites.
Yeah. Good ones. Okay. Horror movie weapons.
Machete, hunting knife, chainsaw.
3.64. That was a good one.
Ooh,
nice. See, usually when you play 5-second rule, you don't get to know exactly how fast you did it. You just know that there's time left.
That's true.
Because it's usually the thing. This is almost arguably more fun. The Jordan Peele movies.
Get Out, Us, Nope.
Yep. 2.52 seconds.
Easy.
Less than a second.
Short titles, too. Yeah, we love that.
Single syllable. Okay. Movie snacks.
Popcorn, chicken nuggets, candy.
Chicken nuggets?
Yeah, you're you don't have chicken nuggies?
No.
Oh.
But I'll give it to you. 4.58.
Okay. My theater has them. I've always thought about getting them.
I feel like my theater
I guess
has
it's
too.
Not like We've a got, class. Like, pizza. I should have said, like, nachos or, like, pretzels.
Yeah.
Or
yeah, 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 more... yeah, pretzel. That's all right.
I'll take a half point.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, Halloween activities.
Trick-or-treating, pumpkin carving, and haunted hayride.
4.61. So close.
Haunted hayride. My roots came out on that one.
Yeah. So Iowa. This is a harder one.
Oh, okay.
Body horror movies.
Tusk, The Fly... As no, why could I not think of a third one?
The only ones that I would have thought of, like I still to like to right now, were The Thing.
Yes, that's a good one.
Yeah, and Jennifer's Body, which is like objectively not a body horror movie.
I wouldn't.
Things are happening to her body, but yeah, anyway. Werewolf movies.
Dog Soldiers, Ginger Snaps, and An American Werewolf in London.
In where?
London.
London. What was the first one you said?
Dog Soldiers. We haven't watched that one yet, but
I haven't even heard of it. Super niche one. I was really scraping the bottom of the barrel here. 2020s horror.
Wait, like came out in 2020 or 2020?
In the 2020s. I'll start it over.
Okay, thank you. Talk to me. Bring her back and
time. Weapons?
That's crazy. I went and saw 4 like a week ago.
Yeah, honestly, just spout them off.
I was trying to think of good ones.
Oh, that, yeah, that was your mistake.
I know, yeah.
Only so many of those. Okay, last one.
Okay.
You've missed 2.5.
Yeah.
Matthew Lillard films.
Scream, 13 Ghosts, and SLC Punk.
What is that?
It's not a horror.
It didn't have to be.
Oh, great.
I would have said Scooby-Doo.
It was the first one that came to mind.
What is it?
SLC Punk?
Yeah.
It's like a 90s movie.
Wild?
Yeah. Devin Sawa's in it, too.
Oh, cute.
Yeah.
Fun. Horror adjacent.
Scream King's in there, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Adjacent. Okay, well, did I pick any of the ones that you were going to do?
I was going to do, like, creatures featured, but that feels more werewolfy, so I'm going to leave that one out.
Okay.
And then one of my extras was Final Girls, so I didn't end up. That was just an additional one I had.
Okay. Okay. I get really loud when I play this game because I feel like I think better when I'm loud.
Great.
But I'm going to try to not to do that. Also, I don't think I'm going to be able to do this. I don't think my brain works as fast as that, but we'll see.
I believe in you.
Okay, thank you.
First up?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I forgot I have to do the timer.
Yeah.
First up, Alien movies.
Alien, nope. Get Out.
You got it at like 4.8 something. I forgot to stop it.
Is Get Out an Alien movie?
No, it's not. So you don't get it. Okay.
What was I thinking of? I was thinking of the one that's like, there's only one word of dialogue in it.
No One Will Save You.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
kind of similar titles, both going for that like 50s style of like, get out, no one will save you. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for that small crumb.
You're so welcome. Whatever crumb I can give you. 2 out of 3. That's not bad, but you know.
No.
It's not good, but just kidding.
I mean, I 2 out of 3 is what I'm aiming for at this
point. If you get 2 out of 3 on all of them. It's a self-win.
Yeah, between my goldfish memory and, yeah.
All right, next up.
Mm-hmm.
Female villains.
No.
Great.
How?
Jennifer? What? Jennifer's body? Ginger?
She's not a villain. She's possessed, and Ginger isn't a villain. She's a werewolf.
You can be a victim and a villain, and both of them were.
Ugh, fine.
Yeah.
What's another one?
Oh, Amanda from Saw.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a hard one.
That was kind of hard. Well, what are you going to do?
That's okay.
Next up.
Mm-hmm.
Clown villains.
Can I name the movie? I don't know. Clown of Cornfield, Terrifier, and another one.
Pennywise, mayhaps?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about him. That's like the clown.
Maybe the biggest one.
Yeah, honestly. Who's a third one? Art?
You literally named 2.
But what?
Friendo is.
Is there like another big one besides Art and Penny?
Friendo now.
Yeah, it is Friendo.
That's the big 3 now.
Damn. I was there.
You were there. All right. Characters who ended up being Ghostface.
Stu Mocker and Dewey wasn't, but I'll name him too. And I have no idea. I don't remember this kind of shit. Yeah,
Stu
Billy.
And Billy.
Stu and Billy.
Jill from the fourth one. Charlie from the fourth one. Debbie from the second one.
I don't remember any of these names. Stu. The fact I remember Stu Mocker is actually not that surprising.
That, if you didn't get him, there was going to be an issue. All right. A24 movies.
I saw the TV Low as Neon, and it's not. It is A24. Fuck. Well, there's my 5 seconds, so.
Yeah, you're at seven.
Yeah. I thought that was a Neon movie.
No, A24. You got me the merch off of the A24 website.
Oh, you're so right. You're so right.
You're doing great.
Thank you. Yes. Mm-hmm. That. Right. Yeah, I don't. I Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah, that's true. You gave me a non-horror, so I would have given you a non-horror, too.
Thank you. Yeah. This is the least you could do.
Yeah. I've been giving you, like, 10 bones. Seconds.
So. The other problem is that I, like, have to talk it out, and then that wastes all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I can do this game when it's, like, vegetables.
Vegetables. Or,
like, safe words. Oh, broccoli, cauliflower, carrot.
Nice. 2.97.
Hell yeah.
And you were taken aback. That's crazy.
It was my time to shine. I needed a little win.
We have 5 left. We're halfway through.
Jesus fuck. Okay.
Yeah. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
All right. Movies featuring cannibals.
I don't know. It's too hard. I don't even remember the movie we watched last week. There's one with Timothy Chalamet. Feed Me or some shit. I don't remember.
We gotta work on your memory.
It's so bad.
There's Bones and All, Silence of the Lambs, Fresh, Raw.
Oh, Silence of the Lambs. You watched all of those. Raw. Damn. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I knew this would be bad. I didn't know it would be this bad.
I'm leaving some of the easier ones to the end because I kind of feel bad.
I fucking hope so.
Scream Kings.
Matthew Lillard, the guy who plays Billy, and the guy that you just mentioned that is also in that movie that you mentioned earlier. In 10 seconds or less.
Devin Sawa, you got it in 10.85, so you didn't even
11
get
seconds
it.
Or less. Devin Sawa, Matthew Lillard.
Yeah, and were you going for Skeet Ulrich? Was that?
Yes, I was going for Skeet Ulrich. Okay. He is in multiple Scream movies, so that alone.
That
Scream
alone.
King.
Yeah, yeah,
he's the king of
Justin
Scream.
Long, you know, we've talked
about
that's him.
A good
Kyle
one.
Gallner is a great one.
Justin Long was a good one.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
At least I got one and a half.
Found footage movies.
Wreck, Blair Witch Project, VHS.
Nailed it. 3.58.
Hell yeah. That was at the top of my brain.
That
and I kind of like found footage.
Yeah, I know you do.
Yeah. Easy.
Right?
Okay.
Scream Queens.
Jamie Lee Curtis. I couldn't even get her name. Okay, wait. Let me do it, though. I'll do it. It's not going to be 5 seconds. Also, Sigourney Weaver, even though she's only in the one. And I think it counts. And
no, she's in Cabin in the Woods too.
Oh yeah, you're so right.
And she was the
and she's in that
gorge,
one
the gorge.
Yeah, the one with the Apple movie, the
yeah,
only Apple
you.
Movie we've ever watched. That's enough. Just those two.
Tap out there. Who needs more?
Yeah,
Mia Goth. I would accept a New Age. Jenna Ortega. We've
oh,
got yeah.
I wasn't even thinking.
Neve Campbell,
age.
Courtney Cox. I'll accept them.
Mm-hmm.
Samara Weaving.
Oh yeah,
there's a lot.
She's in a new like not horror movie right now.
Yeah, I saw that. Well, I didn't see it, but I heard.
Yeah.
Okay, final one. Ready?
No, but we're gonna do it anyway. We should have gone back and forth.
This is too much for you.
It's
see, it helped me because I felt like I got in the vibe of like answering quickly.
Okay, yeah.
Stephen King adaptions.
The Long Walk, It, The Mist.
4.31.
Whew.
It's good.
Really pulled
good.
That one out of my butt. For the biggest Stephen King hater, number one Stephen King hater, That was pretty good.
Number one DNF-er for Stephen King. Yeah.
I've actually finished more than I've not.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. By one. Or did we read more than... We read Shining and Sleep and It. Yeah. That's it, right?
Yeah, because I read Carrie and the Running Man, but not with you. So
yeah.
And I think It is my fifth book this year of his.
Yeah.
That I still haven't finished, but I will by the end of this month.
You have 15 days.
My audiobook time just renewed, so
nice.
I'm gonna stay the course. I can do this.
Do you have enough to finish?
Yeah, I have like 12 hours left. That's crazy to say, by the way. You slept that you're 70% of the way into a book and you still have 12 hours left.
Yeah. It's like 60 hours. Or it's like 45.
Yeah, I think it's in the 40s.
Yeah, 40 something.
Anyways.
Okay, well, that was terrible. You did great.
Thank you. You did just fine.
I participated.
You did. You tried.
I tried. My brain,
she had other ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
MIA. Anyway. Okay, well, that's good because I was worried that I'd be talking too much before I gave the summary. But I didn't have much to say. So now I'll give a summary of what we're actually here to talk about, which is VHS Halloween.
Amazing. Thank you.
You're so welcome. VHS Halloween features a collection of Halloween-themed videotapes that unleash a series of twisted, blood-soaked tales, turning trick-or-treat into a struggle for survival. The segments include Diet Phantasma, written and directed by Brian M. Ferguson, Coochie Coochie Coo, written and directed by Anna Zlokovic, Utsuprasic Infro, which again means as above, so below, written and directed by Paco Plaza and also written by Alberto Marini. Fun Size, written and directed by Casper Kelly. Kid Print, written and directed by Alex Ross Perry. And finally, Home Haunt, written and directed by Michelle Pitt Norman. No. Written and directed by Micheline Pitt Norman and R.H. Norman, their husband and wife. It has an enormous cast, being a 6 short film ensemble, and is a Shudder original, so no real budget or box office data. But it has gotten pretty favorable reviews. It has a 5.8 out of 10 on IMDb, a 3 out of 5 on Letterboxd, and a 95% critic score and 57% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes, though it should be said that there are currently only 56 critics' reviews. So there you go. VHS Halloween. It just came out, too, by the way.
It did. Plus, I think it should also be said that this is the 8th movie in the VHS franchise. So I think by now, like, anybody who is just not a fan of the VHS format is probably not rating them anymore.
Yeah, that's
true. You know what I mean? Like, people who are gonna not like it no matter what, they all rated the first, like, 2.
Yeah.
And by now, they're out. Yeah, they're done. They're not gonna watch it anymore, so.
So true. Yeah, the people who like it are the ones watching it. Yep, that makes total sense. Well, the audience score is only a 57%. That's another thing I was going to say, is it's almost a 40% spread.
Very large spread. Yeah. And I mean, I feel like that's not surprising to me. We've mentioned it before, but it because of the format and because it's anthology, it's not like some people are going to like some segments, some people are going to not like the others. So it's kind of like, and I feel like overall... there was a lot of camp going on in this one. So if that's not people's things, they're probably not going to like a lot of the segments.
Yeah.
It's also, which I didn't even realize, but I think they're kind of breaking it off into like mini trilogies where it's like the first 3 is like the original. And then the next 3 all were based on 1 year. Like they all took place in 1 year. So it's like 99, 85, 94 or something like that. And then these ones... VHS Beyond and VHS Halloween are like a specific theme, right? So like last one was sci-fi, this one's all Halloween theme. So that also might have something to do with it, where it's like if you're not into the Halloween theme, this isn't going to be for you either.
Yeah. I would be interested, we should have done this legwork, to see like which has the most consistently good reviews.
Probably VHS 2.
That checks out.
VHS Beyond got pretty good reviews too, though.
That's the alien one?
Yeah, it's sci-fi.
I but almost I asked if we could do a double feature of that one and this one.
I still think you should watch it. It's right up your alley as far as sci-fi goes.
Yeah. I forget which one. We were watching one together as a fun little team not that long ago. What were we watching?
I put on Beyond. But you had to dip out.
I had to dip
like,
out.
Like right before the segment that I knew you were going to like.
Oh, no.
Well, actually before the two segments that I knew you were going to like. So.
Shoot. Well.
Yeah.
Another day.
One day.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought overall that there was some really thoughtful presentation to this one. Like the how they mixed. I can't say. I don't know if this is like. Maybe they've done this in other installments, but in this one in particular, they mixed a bunch of different kinds of found footage in each segment, but it was all still like true to found footage and not at all confusing. So like the Utsuper Sikimfro one was like three different kinds of footage. It was the them actually recording themselves being underground, the like one, the people being possessed, and like that footage. You know what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
And it all still made sense. And then they also interspliced all the segments with one longer segment. And you could still follow everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Which that is what they do.
Yeah.
There's always a...
The big segment.
Like a foil segment where it's...
Yeah.
Everything kind of... Not revolves around that. I feel like they did that for like the first couple. Like the first movie... It's them breaking into the house and finding the VHS tapes. And then that's what we're watching.
Yes.
Which kind of makes more sense. And then they kind of steered away from that and just started doing like a framing segment. And then all the other ones spliced in between to kind of give a little break in between.
Yeah. I don't know that any of them like tied into each other necessarily, other than they were all sort of like Halloween vibes. But I mean, Even Diet Phantasma wasn't like really Halloween themed.
Yeah, not really. Just kind of... Sweets themed, I guess.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
How should we do this? I have fun facts for like some of the different segments.
Yeah, I've got fun facts about most of the segments, I think.
I only have no fun facts for one segment.
Which one?
Fun Size.
Oh, I have so much about Fun Size.
Great.
Wow, perfect. That worked out nicely.
Should we go segment by segment?
Yeah, let's.
All right, let's start with the frame narrative.
Diet Phantasma. The vibes were strange. The, like, visual vibes. Mm. It very much reminded me of I Saw the TV Glow.
Oh, yeah. They were definitely trying to go for that, like, campy 80s
aesthetic
vibe.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Which is not bad. It just... It felt kind of a little try hard, but it wasn't bad.
See, I felt like they did the kind of campy thing the best.
In Diet Phantasma?
Yeah. Because it was so over the top and so funny. Not so funny, but like, I think that was the only segment that I actually did laugh in. On purpose.
You're joking.
Because they wanted me to. Yeah, when the kid explodes, that was hilarious.
You don't think a girl sticking a tube of candy up her ass and her face exploding off of her was funny?
No, actually. I did not think anything in the Fun Size segment was funny.
That's crazy. I thought Fun Size was so funny.
I thought that was exactly how not to do camp. That's really funny that we had literally the opposite. I kept watching Fun Size and wishing I could go back to Diet Phantasma.
Oh, no. I mean, I liked them both, but... I liked laughing during Fun Size. Because it was just so stupid.
Yeah, but it didn't feel like in a good way.
Oh.
It felt like a 45-year-old trying to write something that they thought Zoomers were going to laugh at.
Yeah. But that's what camp is. It's got to be over the top. And it definitely is over the top.
And funny.
Ah, damn, I thought it was funny.
Hey,
a sentient candy bowl. And the way she's like, I'm going to get on the belt. I can't do this anymore. I'm just going to get on the conveyor belt.
I don't know. The acting was just so bad for me. And then the like 20 minutes of them just like saying what's on the conveyor belt was so.
Yeah.
Oh, that's his penis. Oh, that's his balls. Oh, that's his head. Like, I was like, okay, can we, are we moving on yet?
Well, originally the screens on the conveyor belt weren't going to be there. And the director was like asking his crew, like, what else could we do to make this better? And somebody recommended, hey, let's add these screens so that you can see what's going through the conveyor belt. And like last minute, they added that in and it stuck.
Mm. The screens weren't really what bothered me. It was mainly the acting and the dialogue.
Sure.
Was not for me.
Sure. It was just so dumb.
Yeah. I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah. And I took Phantasma a little bit more seriously. I did think some of the kills were funny. Not all of them.
Oh no, I immediately understood what they were making fun of. Even like the print at the bottom that was like for internal use only. Like,
oh yeah.
That's so funny because like obviously they're just playing on, obviously like they're killing children. They're not going to be taking that and using that on their social needs. But
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That one clicked for me. The little boy exploding on the glass in Diet Phantasma was the scene that Brian M. Ferguson was the most proud of.
Cute.
Yeah. He said in an interview that they had a cannon set up to do it and they only had about 5 minutes to get it right. And the first time they did it, it did not work at all. And so they were just like so tight on time. So they were like quickly trying to reset it and get the shot. And it was the last like thing that they got that day. And he was like so proud that they made it work.
Nice. Cute. Yeah, they, all the directors did, I forget what interview it was, but they did an interview together and mm-hmm. described sort of the filming process as 5 days, no budget. Mm-hmm. And they specifically called out that you cannot be a mediocre filmmaker to have a segment in these films because you don't have time and you don't have money to do it. You got to figure out how to make it work. Interesting.
Yeah, I think I read the same article. And I thought it was interesting because I feel like they kind of had different takes on it. Like they all kind of agreed on the most part. But I liked that Ferguson had said, I think he said he only had 3 days to do Diet Phantasma, but he found it really liberating because he was like, well, if you fuck it up, it's going to look like trash anyway. Like you're putting filters on it. You're using this garbage camera. Like,
yeah,
it just has to be so bad that it's good.
Yeah.
And I think then they made a joke about just covering up any bad editing with glitches in the camera, which they're like, you can't really do that in another movie. So
true, true. They also said that they had an absurd amount of freedom and they never had to cut corners when it came to their like ideas or whatever. All the ideas that they brought were just sort of like universally accepted as if that's what they want to do, then they can do it.
Which is, yeah, it nice. Seems like they give quite a bit of creative freedom when they do these movies.
Mm-hmm. Which makes sense because I think the more that they put out, the more people are looking for specific directors to do a segment. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be looking for that person's influence, not the influence of whatever producers that are just signing people on. Should we talk about Coochie Coochie Coo?
If we have to.
Honestly. I watched this one and immediately messaged two of our mutual friends and was like, hey, so you're forbidden to watch this. And that was before the four other segments that also dealt with like children in peril.
Pretty kid death heavy this movie is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's like the first segment, right? After Diet Phantasma.
Yeah, it's the first like full segment.
Which they did say. The directors, again, sort of had this, like, consensus of you don't see a lot of, like, that kids. They wanted to balance the, like, comedy and sort of, like, more lighthearted stuff with graphic. It's going to get even the best of us, the people who have watched the most horror. You know what I'm trying to say? They wanted to put in stuff that was maybe affect people who are a little bit more desensitized.
Mm.
So that's where all the kids came from.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, story-wise, not my favorite. Also, pretty sure they used AI, so...
Yikes. For what?
Yikes. The photo on the mantle. It's like this like super exaggerated pregnant woman screaming and crying, and they're like, oh, she looks sad. So you can tell they put it in post, because obviously she looks sad. It's like it's the dumbest scene I've ever seen in my life.
What the hell?
Yeah.
I guess I looked glazed over that.
A lot of people online were thinking the same. So. Yeah.
Yeesh.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely doesn't excuse it, but I wouldn't be surprised if that was just a product of the low budget and they skimped on it. So just adds to the fact that that's probably true.
Yeah. It's just, I just don't, I can't imagine it would take that much more effort to just have an actress pose for a quick pic.
You'd think.
They had so many other photos surrounding it that didn't look AI. So I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Why that one? Why this sperm?
I want to see the picture that you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember.
I can send it to you.
Yes, please. And don't be offended when I delete it from our chat.
Oh.
Because I don't want to look at it.
Okay. I'm sending you the Reddit thread.
Oh, the link. Got it.
Yeah. People discussing it.
Yeah.
It's just like the smoothness and the over-exaggerated expression that it's like, that tips it off.
Yeah. I mean, there's something wrong with like her stomach and.
It just gives AI.
Yeah, it does.
It's gross. The face for me. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. That was definitely not my favorite segment.
Me neither. The acting was pretty bad too, which I thought was funny because in that article that I think we both read, the director was talking about like the hardest thing is to make everything feel so real. Like you're going to lose people if you can't make the dialogue feel real. And I was like, those two girls talking to each other was like the worst part of that.
Yeah.
Well, no, the AI was, but that was like the second worst part where I was like, their conversations did not feel real. And the biggest issue I had with that segment was that it did not feel, it felt like they were forcing the story to go through rather than it happening to these characters. Right. Like,
yeah.
Them being like, we have to go through here. There's no other way. Like, it was just so ridiculous where it's like, okay, they just wanted to include this scene and they had to figure out a way to make it happen, even though it doesn't make sense with the plot.
Yeah. I think it also sort of ended funny. I didn't understand the transition between the second girl, like, running away and, like, running over all, like, the milk or whatever, and then suddenly she's just, like, crawling up to the mother character. That
I think they were trying,
disjointed.
Yeah, I think they were trying to do like a she's accepting her fate type of thing, but it just happened too quick. That would only work if it was a longer segment, right? Like in that short of amount of a time, I'm not believing that she's accepting her fate that quickly. I don't know.
I think you're giving me a little bit too much credit. I did not read any articles. I only watched YouTube videos.
Oh,
but it probably was from the same.
I probably just read the transcript of the YouTube article. I do that a lot.
But they did say in the YouTube interviews that was another sort of like difficulty or challenge with directing a segment in an anthology is that you only have 20 minutes and you have to sort of convince people that they know the character's stories. And they specifically referenced, I think, The Vanishing, which I haven't watched, but maybe that means something to you. And Blair Witch as these like slow burn, you have 45, 55, 65 minutes to like start telling the story and build suspense until like that big climax. Then you don't get that in these. So there's that.
Yeah. Definitely not going to work for every story you're trying to tell.
Mm-hmm.
They also, last little fun facts about the Coochie Coochie Coo segment. I read an article with an interview with the cinematographer, Powell Robinson, and he was basically talking about how he was in costume the entire time because he's the one holding the camera. So if they were changing cameras, he had to be basically like, it had to look like he was one of the girls. Mm-hmm. So he said he was like in those onesies, just like passing the camera to the other people.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of funny.
That is funny. Okay, after Coochie Coochie Coo, which, crazy name, by the way.
It was quite the segment.
It wasn't bad leading up to that point. And I was on board with the Coochie Coochie Coo thing. And then it just went downhill.
I think, yeah, when they like first entered the house, it wasn't until things really started going that the acting really took a tumble. And then,
yeah,
it just, yeah, yeah.
They said the audition tapes for the baby that sucks on the wall.
Great.
Were really great. Yeah. I can't imagine having to audition for that particular scene.
You know, it wouldn't be my dream role.
I would play a role in one of these movies.
I would play a role in one of these movies. I don't want that role.
Yeah, no, not that one. I feel like the bar's not too high. Like, that feels like an accessible dream for a layperson. Maybe one day I'll have like
a VHS little segment.
Yeah, VHS segment. VHS like 24.
24.
Just like a late bloomer actress, you know?
Yeah, trying to get in the game. Just foot in the VHS door.
Yeah.
I believe in you.
Thank you. Together. I don't want to act in it if you're not also in it.
Got it. We're in the segment together.
Yeah. Well, we don't have to be the same segment.
Oh, I mean,
if you don't want to.
Well, we just wouldn't be working together if we weren't, so.
Oh, yeah, good point. Okay, we have to be the same segment then.
They don't all get together and film them together.
Yeah.
They all kind of do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, next segment?
Yeah. Next is Ut Supra Sing Infra.
Mm-hmm.
As above, so below. So below.
So below. And speaking of that, we literally talked about it last episode because Dowdle is the director of that and Devil, which we just watched.
Mm-hmm.
And Dowdle also did the remake of Wreck, which Paco is funny
Plaza.
Because Paco Plaza directed Ut Supra Sing Infra and he is the director of Wreck.
Crazy.
It all comes back around. Yeah. It all comes back around the corner because it's a square, not a circle.
Yeah,
you know square. What I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, I feel like the horror world is pretty small.
Yeah. At this point.
In the grand scheme of things, it's all connected some way or another.
Yeah. But no, this is the one I was talking about specifically that has three different versions of found footage in one segment and still very cohesive and interesting.
Mm-hmm. Which makes sense. He's done it before. Wreck is found footage. So it's not like this is his first rodeo.
Mm-hmm. And he said in an interview that Paco Plaza, that he'd always wanted to be part of the VHS series, but until now he'd had a really hard time aligning his schedule to the production of a VHS anthology. So he wasn't able to do it until now.
Nice. That's exciting that he finally got his chance.
Yeah.
I do like that they have continued to include foreign language films in their series. I really like that. Or I guess foreign language segments.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun to me. I like that they're not just limiting themselves.
Yeah, I agree. I think also acting just feels better not in English. Always. I don't know what it is about that. But this one felt the strongest acted to me.
I agree. And I weirdly thought the same thing. I was like, is it because it's not my native language, so I don't pick up on like the subtleties of it as much as...
Yeah.
Because maybe someone who speaks Spanish would watch this and be like, that's shit, you know?
Yeah.
Because they're not like doing the right inflections, but I don't know because it's not my native tongue.
Yeah, or like a tone thing. Like maybe it's just tone. Yeah. I don't know.
It's something though, because I agree. I thought this was very well acted.
Yeah. Foreign films just like hit different.
They do.
Just always.
Yeah. The scene that Plaza said that he was most proud of in this segment was when, what's his name? Enrico?
Oh, I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you the name of a single character in this entire film. I only get 20 minutes with each character. No.
I don't know why I ever thought you would know. Enrique, that's his name.
Mm-hmm.
I was close. Anyways, when he starts vomiting up the eyeballs, he said that that was a really fun thing to shoot and that they were giggling the whole time, which I think is funny. And he said that the guy who played Enrique was very skilled with his tongue. He said not easy to pop four eyeballs out of your mouth, but he did it. So he was very proud of that scene.
Wow. Fun.
Yeah. It's not something you do on every set.
Yeah. It took me I don't want to say like very unreasonable, but like a little unreasonable amount of time to realize that he had eaten the eyeballs of the people at the beginning of the segment and that he was then going to eat the eyeballs of the other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. It took until about the time he was getting her eyeball out of her face for me to realize like, oh, that's why he threw up the eyeballs, because he ate them from the other people.
Gathered that in the last shot there.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, oh yeah. Wow. Clever. Okay. I get it.
I mean, I'm glad you got there eventually.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Embarrassing, but.
You know what? Sometimes that's just how it goes.
Yeah. Not as embarrassing as the beginning. Well, first of all, not as embarrassing as me not being able to say the word embarrassing. But second of all, not as embarrassing as the beginning of this episode where I couldn't think of a single fucking horror movie ever. Except Alien, after you said the word Alien.
It's the time pressure of it all, you know?
Yeah, it's the pressure. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a high pressure.
Oh, I'm a little less embarrassed.
It's a high-pressure situation. Nailed it.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. And unfair that you're going to be able to cut that out and you're not even going to have the little stumble that you just had. Ugh, terrible.
Well, now I can't because you talked.
Well, you could cut that out too. You could just cut it all out.
That's true. Sometimes it's hard to isolate it, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes there's just nothing I can do. Mm-hmm. It just has to stay in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll leave that in. That's a little one just for you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. The reality of podcasting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're not going to be able to remove them all. Anyway, another fun fact about Ootsu Persing came from.
Mm-hmm.
One of the Halloween costumes is a fire chief's uniform. So people are saying that that's a direct reference to Wreck.
Yeah.
Cutesy.
Mm-hmm. All right, I have one more about the segment.
Okay.
Plaza said that the most challenging thing of making a found footage is always trying to make the audience believe that they would continue filming, that the characters would keep filming in the situation. Because he's like, a lot of the times they're just going to drop it.
Yeah.
So he said that's the most challenging part. And he also, just a side note, said that he really doesn't like it when the camera arrives or when the camera's already there to capture what's happening. He said he likes it when the camera arrives late because that's what would happen.
Mm.
So that was an interesting fact because I was like, you're right.
Yeah.
Someone would whip out their phone when something interesting happens.
Yeah.
That's why you shouldn't believe everything you see on TikTok because all that's set up. Why are they just filming themselves in their living room? Like, come on.
Yeah.
Use your brains, people.
Yeah. Or like at a fucking restaurant. Why are you filming yourself at a restaurant?
Well, some of them actually just do that. But
oh, God.
Yeah, I feel like that type of influencer, that might be real. But yeah, the ones where they're just like in their living room and then they're like, oh, caught this crazy moment with my dog or something. It's like, girl, please.
Mm-hmm. Okay, next segment is fun size.
Yeah.
The first thing that stood out to me about this segment is that it was the second segment within 40 minutes of the same movie that they said, aren't you a little old to be trick-or-treating?
Yeah, that was kind of the thing. Well, I mean, that's the risk you run when you have a theme like Halloween and you're just saying, hey, do whatever you want.
True. True. Yeah. This one was just so unserious. It was so unserious. I thought it was fucking hysterical. The way they screamed, it's not human. It's not human. It's not like, yeah, it's fucking candy, dumbass. Like, that's, yeah. And I want this to be over. I'm getting on the conveyor belt was literally the funniest thing anyway. Like, why? Like, why wouldn't, like, your first inclination as you're trying to run away from sentient candy is to just, I just want to get on the conveyor belt. Like, what? Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, she was right. She could have avoided a gobstopper enema. So
crazy.
Should have got on the conveyor belt.
Yeah. I was ready for the gobstoppers to come out of her mouth. I was not ready for her entire face to explode off of her face.
Yeah, that's fair. I can't describe it. It just didn't hit for me.
Fair.
You were going to give a fun fact, though, it looked like?
Yeah, I do.
The fun fact twinkle in your eyes.
Yes, I do have a couple. I already gave you one of them. I have two, and I gave you one already, that the conveyor belt cameras was a late addition.
An after effect.
Yeah. I was bragging about how much I have about fun size, but it's really only the two things. The other one, the director, Casper Kelly, said that the character of Fun Size, that's the candy's name, started out much more complicated in, like, design, and they just kept iterating on it and simplified it multiple times. They wanted it to just literally be a simple humanoid candy. It took them a long time to get there, but the finished product, it was what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Simple.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all I have about Fun Size.
Oh, no. Next segment.
That's crazy. I thought for sure you'd think it was just so stupid that it was fun.
I definitely thought it was stupid.
Yeah. Seems like it.
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay. I definitely understand that not all the segments are going to be for everyone.
Yeah, for sure. What is the joy of VHS if not arguing about which segments are good and which ones are bad?
Yeah, honestly. Okay, next. Kid print.
Mm-hmm. Let me just say, going from Fun Size to this one was the biggest whiplash of the entire.
Fucking crazy work.
Yeah. It got dark real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is by far the darkest of the segments.
Yeah.
Maybe the only one that did not lean into the camp of Halloween. They just went straight for child serial killer.
Yeah, and by the way, kid print is like a real thing that was real, that happened in real life.
Not the murders, but...
No, sorry. It was a free service offered by Blockbuster in the mid-90s, and it literally, just like it happens in the film, stores had a kiosk that kids stood in front of. It showed their height, and they would use a VHS camera to record a quick video, and they would give it to the parents, and the parents would take it home in case their child went missing.
It's an interesting idea.
I guess. Like, just don't let your kid go missing.
Well, I don't think anybody whose kid goes missing was, like, on purpose. Well, sometimes. Most of the time, I feel like.
Yeah.
They're not intentionally trying to let their kid go missing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think ideally, you want your kid to not go missing.
Yeah. I can relate to
kid
that.
Print. Yeah, you have a kid, so you know all about not wanting them to go missing. I can't even.
You wouldn't even know. You can't even fathom.
There's no possible way for me to know that that's a thing that parents would not want to
happen. No way. I'm telling you this for the first time.
Yes, this is brand new information.
Oh, shoot. Most interesting and, like, kind of shocking thing about this segment was that in real life, the guy that plays Bruce is a minister.
I feel like the IMD fun fact for this was a little misleading.
Why?
Because they made it seem like that is his full-time job outside of this movie, which is not true. He is an actor. He does acting full-time. That is his job.
Okay.
But he does side work as a homeless youth minister. So...
Okay, it's more of a side thing.
He is a minister, but I feel like the way they phrased it made it seem like they just, like, hired a minister off the streets instead of...
Yeah.
He's been in a lot of things, mainly as, like, side character. He was in an episode of Skins. Like, he's done some stuff.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Also, a homeless youth minister? That's on the nose.
Well, yeah, I don't think he's, like, his character in real life.
No.
Hopefully.
Absolutely not. I would assume. I would hope. Fuck.
That'd be crazy.
Yeah.
That'd be like when they hired Chris D'Elia to play, like, the pedophile in You, and then he turned out to actually be a pedophile. Wasn't that crazy?
I don't think I watched that season.
Oh. Never mind then.
Oh, well, I mean.
It was season 2.
Yeah, I think I only watched one. Well, no, because I met Love.
Yeah, it's in that season.
And I only remember her name because it's fucking stupid.
I kind of like it.
No.
40 is a dumb name. But it fit the character, so.
40?
That's her brother's name. 40. It's 40 in Love. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my god, it's fucking Tennis.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that until right now. Did they talk about that in the film? In the show?
I don't think so. I think it just suits the fact that they're like privileged kids, you know?
Yeah. Honestly? Yeah. Yeah. Like, honest to God, 15 is a better name than 40.
Everybody tell us in the comments which tennis term you would name your kid after. And why is it Love? That's the best out of them if you're going to do it.
Honestly, yeah. Mm-hmm. Or like backhand.
No. Nope. That's the worst one. That's the worst one so far. What the fuck are we talking about?
I don't even know, dude.
Oh my God. Kid print. Okay. Oh, Alex Ross Perry, the director.
Mm-hmm.
They asked this in like the whole interviews, which is why I have like the moment they're most proud of in the thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think the guy from who did Fun Size said that his was the conveyor belt at the end when he's like proposing and she's turning him down as he's dying. He said that that was his proudest moment, but I just didn't care about that.
Segment, also, fucking hilarious. That was also so fucking funny. I was like, wow, this is Cassie's like, vibe.
No, and I was calling so her wrong. Fiance the whole time.
So stupid.
I know. Anyways, Alex Ross Perry, who directed Kid Print, yes, which is what we're talking about now, mm-hmm, he said that his moment in his segment that he was most proud of was when, what is it, Tim, the main character, he's like sitting at the four monitor deck of the screens playing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like all the different videos playing at the same time. And he said that that's all analog. They shot those videos like a couple days earlier and then the editor treated them and then they put them back on the four computers hooked up to four monitors. And then they basically had four different art people just like pressing the spacebar to change it every time it needed to. So it's all done manually. Like they didn't use any special effects for it. They didn't like have the videos ready to go and like the already edited. It was like different clips that they just kept like pressing next on.
Fun.
Yeah. So he said it took like 3 days of planning just to get that scene.
Do you know why he did that? Like went to the trouble?
I think he said that if he saw that screen grab from a movie, that would make him want to watch it.
Well, no, I mean like why they physically went to that trouble to do that as opposed to using digital.
I don't know. Did he say that?
He didn't know that there was digital. Like, he didn't know VFX was an option for the film.
Oh, no.
So he put so much time and effort into practical throughout his entire segment, like, including, like, all the makeup, the moulage, all that. And then at the end, they're like, okay, what VFX do you need? And he's like, excuse
me?
We're
allowed to have that.
It was like that scene in We're the Millers where Eyebrow Kid's like, you guys got paid?
You guys got VFX? Wait, that's so funny.
Yeah.
I think it worked out well. Like, it all looked good.
Well, they did add a little bit of VFX in post, especially to, like, the gore of it all.
Yeah.
I don't know
that they
did that.
You have that foundation.
Yeah.
We've talked about it how many times, that's always what looks best.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
Yeah. They should honestly tell everybody that they don't get VFX and then... Just kidding. We can fix it a little.
Next VHS. VHS 9 is going to be VHS VFX. Wow. Hire me. Copyrighted patent.
Yeah.
You can't use that without me now.
Do it. Honestly, we should just take all the words in the dictionary, put them after VHS, and get patents on them.
Buy it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All the websites, the domains, purchased. You'll never do a VHS ever again without us being involved.
And we're easy sells. We just want to be involved.
Yeah, just put us in the movie.
Yeah, I just want to hang out.
Yeah.
Get Mike Flanagan and Kate Siegel back and let them know I'm available.
What segment did they do?
They did a segment in VHS Beyond.
What is it, one of the ones I would have liked?
Yes. It's the best segment of the entire movie. Ugh. Come on. Of course it is.
That's so annoying.
Well, it was my favorite segment.
I mean, it's Mike Flanagan. Is she in it or did they just work on it together?
She directed it.
Oh, what did he have to do?
Yeah, it's like her directorial debut, I think. He wrote it. Oh, and then she directed it.
Cute.
Yeah.
Fun, 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 fun.
All right, last segment? Or did you have more for Kid Print?
Well, just one more thing. Perry, the director, did say that he's a father himself. So he said that the scariest thing that he could think of was something terrible consistently happening to children. And that between the inspiration from the actual product and that knowledge was how the story was born.
Very fair.
Yeah. I personally, and one of the friends that I messaged, Ren, mentioned, like, why are we desensitizing people to this? And I kind of tend to agree. He knew it was wrong and uncomfortable, and he still did it.
But do you feel he glamorized it?
There wasn't, like, a story or a moral, really. That's what I struggled with, was that there wasn't – it was just, like, they're collecting videos, and he's using them to kill the kids. Like, there wasn't – you know what I mean? Like, there just wasn't enough, like, substance. I get that they only have 20 minutes. Yeah.
I feel like, yeah, because it's a short, but I feel like he went more of like the slasher route of like, there's a killer on the loose type of vibe.
Yeah. But he did specifically say, and we're going to talk about is the next segment the last one? The
Home Haunt, yeah.
Home Haunt. He said, and the married couple that directed and wrote Home Haunt said that they only brought the kid stuff in to up the gore factor and up the, like, so, like, they admitted sort of that it wasn't necessary to the story. I don't know.
Yeah. It just puts, like, emotional stakes in it.
Yeah.
People care more about kids, which is funny because then, like, every slasher ever is teenagers, which are still kids, but, like, people don't care as much, which is wild, but I don't know. I don't think I'm in the camp of, like, if you put something in a movie, you're, like, normalizing it or glamorizing it or, like, making it more okay. Because then I feel like I couldn't watch horror at all.
It's true. Yeah. I don't know. Perry said that he didn't think that he crossed a line. It just was definitely the hardest one to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Very intense.
Yeah, definitely the darkest segment.
Anyway. Okay, now we can talk about Home Haunt.
Okay.
What was the segment that they're most proud of? I know you know.
Wow, thanks for asking. The scene that they are most proud of was the witch's flight at the very end. The director said that that was their favorite scene to film because they got to perform it. So, and I don't know which director actually got to do it, but they basically got to, like, be up on the rig and doing that shot and, like, hitting all the marks that they needed to. And they said they only had two chances. So two takes, that's all they had, and that's what they got it.
Damn.
Yeah.
Crazy work. The segment was inspired by an old book that Micheline and R.H. Norman had laying around in their house. Mm. It was written by two magicians and explained how to create the perfect home haunt. And they put that book into the segment as a little Easter egg.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, I didn't notice it, but I'll go back and we can find it. Mm-hmm. From that book and other research that they did to sort of, like, create this perfect quintessential, like, 90s home haunt, they knew right away they wanted to do the, like, executioner slash torturer scene. The classic green Halloween witch with, like, the long pointy nose or whatever, which is the scene that I complained about in the trailer. And ghouls specifically, not zombies. She kind of threw a little shade to Micheline, kind of threw a little shade to zombies.
Oh.
And was like, ghouls only.
No zombies, ghouls only. Why the hate towards zombies?
Well, it seemed like ghouls were more appropriate for the time period that they were. Like, zombies are a little bit more new age compared to what they were after.
Got it. Got it. So they had to do the ghouls.
Yeah. And then in the same breath, they talked about how incredibly difficult it was to film the ghouls. So maybe had they just done zombies, it would have been a little easier. But
they could have had it all.
They could have.
Yeah.
Rolling in the deep.
My favorite fun fact for this segment is that the grumpy old neighbor, Rich, is played by Rick Baker, who is one of the most famous makeup and creature effects artists in Hollywood.
Yeah, his credits are fucking crazy.
Yup.
Yeah.
Men in Black, Planet of the Apes, The Ring, Cursed. We talked about Cursed.
Mm-hmm.
Enchanted.
The first two Star Wars movies. Captain EO.
Captain EO. And Thriller, right? He did
Thriller. And Thriller, yeah.
Yeah.
But more importantly.
Speaking of zombies.
Yeah. I watched that with my kid the other day. She wasn't a fan. It was a little too much. The Grinch. Yeah. Maleficent.
He's done it all.
Yeah. He's got 7 Academy Awards, 3 BAFTAs, and a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Deserved.
Yeah. And then he, what? Like, what's he doing in this movie? Just having a fun, spooky time. Just
hanging out.
Yep.
Maybe he's friends with the Pitts.
Must be.
Can you imagine they don't know him? He just auditioned.
Yeah, right. And what are your qualifications?
Any other fun facts for this segment?
No.
I just had one.
Okay.
Micheline Pitt said that the most challenging thing for this format was basically being limited by your creative ideas, because everything has to be motivated by the person holding the camera. So it's not necessarily, oh, where can my imagination take me? It's like, where can this person holding a camera take me?
Yeah.
And that's kind of where you're limited to. So they felt like it was a little bit more difficult to try to stay in that box.
Yeah, so fair. Well, fun.
Nice. VHS Halloween.
Lots of segments.
Mm-hmm.
Should we rate it?
Yeah, let's rate it and then rank them.
Okay, rate it as a whole.
Yeah.
Like we
I didn't rate them individually.
Oh, okay. How scary did you think it was?
I give it a 0.5. I feel like most of the segments were like a little goofy, a little campy.
Yeah.
And then the one segment that wasn't really scary. It was more another category here.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you?
I gave it a 1.5.
Oh, okay.
Some were obviously more intentionally scary than others.
Yeah.
Perhaps. I think Kid Print was equally the scariest and also the most of the other category. Up. Yeah. Also, Coochie Coochie. The beginning of Coochie Coochie had me for a minute.
When they're and like then, peeking around corners and shit.
Yeah. What?
I was just going to say, I think I will give it like a 1.
Okay.
Because I will say, when the main guy is like sitting at the monitors in Kid Print, yeah. I did keep thinking like, look around, get up. Like, why are you just sitting there when this is going on? Like, leave. Why are you still here? So that did make me a little anxious.
Yeah. Definitely anxiety inducing. Mm-hmm. Someone made a comment. I don't remember if it was on Reddit or actually it might've been on YouTube on some of the interviews I was watching about how this movie's only scary if you've never seen a horror movie. And I felt like that sold it a little short.
Mm.
But, yeah. Anyway. 1.5.
Nice. How sexy did you think it was?
I didn't. I gave it a 1, mostly for fun size and the stupid-looking witch. Because it's still a witch.
True.
But, like, that honestly feels high. So. Ugh. You?
Yeah, I gave it a 0.5. I feel like maybe one of the least sexy Halloween movies I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It wasn't. Yeah. It was, yeah, you like you said, there were a couple moments of potential, and then they just all got brought down by everything else, so it didn't do it.
Yeah. Okay, well, how fucked up did you think it was?
I gave it a 1.5, and the entire full point is just for Kid Brink. That was disturbing.
Not any of the other kids getting killed stuff. Just Kid Print. Because there's 4 segments with pretty significant kid deaths.
Yeah, but I feel like in Diet Phantasma, it was so like it was just played for laughs. Like it wasn't that serious. And then where else do kid? Oh, I guess maybe I'll give it a 0.5 for the Coochie Coochie Coo.
The babies. The
fetuses. Yeah, that was a little bit much.
And Home Haunt has several children being killed in pretty graphic ways.
I don't know why that one didn't bother me.
It's a little kitschy.
Yeah, it wasn't. I feel like because the tone of it wasn't as dark as Kid Print.
Yeah.
Where it was like, okay, like this goofy dad and his kid, and like the acting was not very good either. So like that was kind of like, yeah, I don't know.
No, that's totally fair.
Also, anything coming after Kid Print was kind of like, it doesn't seem that fucked up anymore. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you?
I gave it a 4.
Okay, yeah.
Lots of children in peril. I don't like that. Kid Print alone. Holy fuck. I didn't want to watch it. And the directors all admitted in that one interview that they were going for fucked up. Like, they were trying to make people who are usually unflappable flap. So, yeah. And I think even the kid stuff notwithstanding, like, this is still a pretty gory film. And when you do add the kid stuff in, it's just like, it's a lot. So, 4. Yeah. One of the higher ones, definitely.
Yeah. All right. Overall, what did you think?
I definitely think there was more to like about this one than there was to dislike. And that is impressive when you have 6 completely different stories happening.
Yeah.
I mentioned already that I was impressed by the creative use of different kinds of footage. And it was all still very easy to understand. And I thought that was very thoughtful and impressive. I was never lost or confused. None of the segments were bad. A couple of them were above average. So I gave it a 3.5 out of 5 overall.
All right. We like to see it.
Yeah. It was fun. Nice. It was a good time.
I'm glad.
Thanks. How about you?
I agree. I liked more segments that I didn't like. Yeah, you kind of always have to go into a VHS movie being like, all right, I might not like all of these. But you got to give the next one a chance, you know? Because after Coochie Coochie Coo, I was like, uh-oh, this might be bad. But yeah, I think that and Fun Size were the only two that I like wasn't a fan of. But the other 4 I liked. So yeah, overall, I gave it a 3 out of 5.
Cute.
Yeah, not that far off. This is a fun movie.
Yeah, worth the watch.
I like the VHS movies. They're fine. Except for the 3rd one, but we all know that.
I don't know that.
Yeah, everybody who's seen it knows.
I definitely believe you.
I'm sure that there are some, like, VHS viral defenders out there, so. It's not me, but.
Yeah. Clearly.
Anytime there's a bad movie, there's going to be people defending it with everything they have, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, 3 out of 5. Fun VHS movie. Can't wait for VHS 9.
Yeah. Coming to a theater near you. Probably not. It'll probably be on Shudder.
Coming to a Shudder near you.
Yeah. I didn't even watch it on Shudder. I watched it on AMC Plus.
AMC Plus partners with Shudder. So if you have AMC Plus, you have everything on Shudder.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
All right, should we rank the segments?
I think so, yeah.
Least favorite to favorite.
Yeah. Okay, you want me to go first?
Sure.
Okay. Wait, hold on. I'm wrong because I have the number 6 on here twice. In last place, I ranked them or rated them also, so I'll give you that too. I gave it a 1 out of 5. Kid Print.
You said you didn't hate any of them.
I hated watching it. It was probably still a good segment. But
1 out of 5, damn.
I had to rate them, like rank them, like rate them to rank them. In 5th place, with a 2.5, significant jump, Coochie Coochie Coo. In 4th place, Phantasma, which feels bad, but it's my truth. I gave it a 3 out of 5.
You gotta stick with your truth.
Yeah. I gave it a 3 out of 5. Also a 3, and this is why I was contemplating, because I also gave this one a 3 out of 5, but still had to rank them somehow. Home Haunt was a lot better than I thought it was going to be based on the trailer. It was just a lot more fun than I was expecting. And then in 2nd place, Utsupra, Sikimfra, 3.5 out of 5. And in 1st place, Fun Size, I gave a 4 out of 5.
That's crazy.
It was so goofy. I had so much fun watching it.
Our rankings are wildly different, let me tell you what.
Yeah. Okay, tell me.
All right. Last place, Coochie Coochie Goo. AI usage, automatic last place.
Sure.
You lose. In fifth place, which would have been sixth place if Coochie Coochie Goo didn't use AI, by the way, these would have been switched. Fun size.
Yeah.
I didn't, it was not for me. Not my sense of humor at all. And then fourth, I have Home Haunt. After that, like four and up, I liked all of them. So
yeah,
I didn't rate them all individually, but yeah, I thought it was fun concepts. The effects were pretty good. The acting dialogue wasn't my favorite.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do?
Yeah. He couldn't even pronounce Samhain correctly. He said Samhain.
They never can.
Yeah.
They never can, Katie. Yeah. They never can. In third, I have Utsuprasik Infra.
Okay.
Very well acted. And I'm going to think about it every time I have a tummy ache. Mm. That didn't tip you off either, the fact that he kept saying his stomach hurt?
That he had eaten the eyeballs? No, it did not.
Well, no, but that and then the vomiting of the eyeball. Okay. You know what? That's fine. Sometimes it just doesn't click. In second place, I have Diet Phantasma. I liked that one a lot. I liked the... Honestly, it's not even a horror segment. That's literally just how Diet Coke trials work. Like, that's just... that's how...
I believe it.
...corporations run. And, yeah, I don't know. I liked it. I liked the cheesy vibes. I liked the humor in it. I liked the kind of critique on capitalism. All of them just, like, the ghosts breaking containment and him being like, put it on the shelves! Like, I don't know. I thought it was hilarious. And then... my favorite was Kid Print, which was your least favorite.
That checks out.
Listen, but we know that I like stories that are more grounded, and VHS doesn't do that a lot. So it actually was very surprising to me. Not only the tone shift, because it was so different than everything else, that I was like, oh, shit. Like, it just got serious.
Mm-hmm.
But not only that, and then also the aspect of, like, there was really no supernatural or paranormal aspect to it at all.
Yeah.
Which is surprising. I feel like VHS does that quite often. So to have a really grounded story, which is scarier to me personally.
Yeah.
I was like, oh. Although I do wonder, how did they explain that away? Because in the end, they're like, oh, we caught the guy, but he was stabbed and beaten to death. But then the kids were also dead. So, like, how did they think he died?
Well, I mean, maybe it was just like a battle royale at the end and then everybody died.
Yeah, I guess that's probably how they... Again, we don't know how the kids died because it was off camera, so...
Yeah, thankfully. They gave us that one small mercy. But yeah, and I find a little solace in the fact that it probably only lasted for another week or two until they realized that there was still another killer and then finally got him, so...
Yeah. They're really setting us up for Kid Print 2.
Oh, God.
2 Kid 2 Print. All right. How do we want to do Would You Survive? Maybe if you think you would survive more segments than you would die in, then you live.
Okay,
if
let me...
If you think you would die in more, then you're dead.
Yeah, let me just... I'm going to just plus and minus real quick.
Mm.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not even done, but I'm living.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I'm just living...
Just quick rundown.
Yeah,
speed
okay.
Run.
Okay, I'm living through Phantasma because I'm not doing... I'm on the other side, unfortunately. I'm a corporate girly myself, so oops. Coochie Coochie Coo, I'm living because I'm not going in that house.
Right.
So that easy. Mm-hmm. And if I went in, I would get out immediately.
Yeah.
I'm dying in Utsuprasik Infra.
Okay.
That just, there weren't a lot of living. There wasn't a lot of living.
Yeah.
Fun size, I live because I'm only taking the one candy. I am not greedy.
Rule follower we got over here.
Yeah. Which, by the way, that segment also had kids dying technically at the end. Kid Print, I'm living because I'm an adult.
Great, yeah.
And Home Haunt, I'm dying because everybody does. So I live in 4 and die in 2.
Great.
Yeah. I'm like strong living.
We got a strong liver over here.
Yeah. Yeah. Not something that most people would say about my liver. But
that's good. I like that.
Okay, what about you?
Diet Phantasma, living. Unfortunately, I am also, if I'm putting myself in the situation, I have to be on the other side because I don't drink soda. So, like, why would I be in a soda trial?
Fair.
But I do believe that I would be reporting them. I would not stay silent.
No, of course
not. Of the children dying. I'd be getting laid off in a week because they'd be firing me for whistleblowing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, then Coochie Coochie Coo, I agree. I'm not going in the house. That creepy door opens. There's no sidewalk. This house just appeared in the middle of nowhere. No, thank you. Bye. Yeah,
strange. I'm out.
Utsuprasik Infra. Maybe. If I'm at a haunted house with my friends and they're like, oh, there's a creepy signet at the wall. Like, don't say it out loud. I'm probably going to say it out loud.
Yeah.
I know myself well enough to know that I am, in fact, that person. I am probably the type of person who would answer a phone that wasn't connected just for the laughs of it all. So, unfortunately, I fear I may be killing people and eating their eyes because I get possessed.
Mm-hmm.
But well, I still live.
Do you live?
He's alive at the end.
Is he, though? Is he, or is he...
He's walking around.
Is his body possessed? He's dead, but his body
remains. I think he's still in there.
Okay, I'll give it to you.
Half a point. Fun size, I agree. I am one of those people who only takes one because I think it's kind of them to do that, and they don't have to do that, right? Like, they're putting trust in their neighbors.
Yeah.
If it was like a Walmart that put it out, whole bowl, mine.
Yeah.
But my neighbors, I'm taking one.
Yeah.
Kid print, yeah, I'm an adult. So, kind of easy.
Easy.
Cop out, but yeah. And then home haunt, I'm probably not going into someone's home haunt. In fact,
oh, no?
I used to live next door to someone who did it every year and I never went because I thought, that's weird. Why would I go inside a stranger's house?
Okay, yeah. Oh, see, all the home haunts that
I've
been
to... I don't know my neighbors.
Fair. All the home haunts I've been to haven't been, like, in the actual house. It's been, the garage and, like, in the backyard.
This was, like, a walk-on in the house, front door, into the basement. And I was like, no.
Weird.
I shan't be doing that.
Yeah, that's weird.
I mean, I saw people coming out, so that's a good sign.
Yeah. We have some really good ones. And we have, like, Christmas ones, too. But it's like their shed, their backyard, their garage. It's not like in their like living spaces.
Yeah. That's why I was like, I'm Christ. Okay. Thank you so much though.
Yeah.
Cool. We both live.
Good. Excellent. You live a little bit better than I do. But all in all,
we live anyway.
We're alive.
Yeah.
It's all and we can I'm ask.
Well, no, we don't live together. Or, like, in the same area. So I'm like, if we're hanging out, I'm not letting you go into the home haunt anyway, so you're living, but...
There you go. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
We live.
We live. Incredible. All right. Do you want to predict next week's movie?
Sure.
All right. Next week, we're going to be talking about Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Okay. I think I remember two of them.
Oh, okay.
I think. There's the one with, like, the ribbon. Right? Is that one of them?
Yeah, I think he includes a story like that.
Okay. And then is the dog one from that?
Where it licks your hand?
The lick, yeah. Is that a scary story that you tell in the dark?
Is it from the books or is that a scary story you tell in the dark?
Is it
well,
from
is
the
that cheating, though? You're supposed to be guessing.
Well... I mean, I'm going to have to figure out how to connect those two seemingly very different stories.
That's true. I don't believe that that is in the book. That's just an urban legend.
Okay.
Save like put that in your back pocket for when we watch Urban Legend.
Okay. All right. Will do. Will do.
Write that down. Write that down.
Write that down. I mean, I'm not going to remember it, so. Okay. Well, I do know that it's like an overarching story. With the scary stories that you tell in the dark sort of like woven in because you just told me that like 45 minutes ago. Or oh my God, an hour and 45 minutes ago.
Yeah, we've been yapping.
Jesus, fuck. I mean, we had to talk about six different movies.
We did.
And I don't know. It's probably a historian and he's learning about all of these different stories, and he's like, ah, there's no way they can be true. But he's slowly finding out that each one is true, and he's living through them all.
Mm.
Yep.
And does he live through them all?
Yeah, he has to, because then he compiles the book. He writes the book about all the stories, and it's the one, and then it's Scary Stories You Tell in the Dark. What is it called?
Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Oh, okay, perfect.
By Alvin Schwartz.
Yeah, the movie is about Alvin.
That's him.
Yeah, Alvin is the one in the movie.
Great.
I mean, an actor portrayal. Is it like actually?
Yes, it's not actually Alvin Schwartz. That'd be crazy.
That would be crazy.
Mainly because he's dead, but.
Oh, God. That checks out, though. I feel like that book's been around for a really long time.
Yeah.
That was before we were kids, obviously.
Yeah, I feel like they were like 80s, 90s.
Yeah.
Probably 80s. Because I think he died in the 90s.
Yeah, and I feel like our parents had them also.
Yeah. Crazy books for kids, by the way. Whew.
Yeah, the ribbon one, if that's one of them, that's like inappropriate.
Well, the girl with the green ribbon is like, I think that predates his stories. I think he just adapted that for the...
Mm.
I think. That story's been adapted quite a few times.
Well, anyway.
Cool. Kind of. Like, not too far off.
Oh, good.
Not right, but, you know.
Yeah.
You will see some of the stories.
Good. Amazing. And it's not an anthology, because that's what I had asked. Was like, well, would it be an anthology? But
no, it's just taking the elements from the story and putting them together.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Is it rated R?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay, cool.
All right, cool. Well, I'm excited to watch it. It's been a while since I've seen it.
Good. Fun. Feels like a fun, spooky Halloween movie.
Yeah, technically you picked it too. I gave you an option between two Halloween-themed movies, since it's Halloween month.
What was the other one? Haunt?
Haunt. We'll get around to that one eventually.
Oh, yeah, just looking at it,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't like it as much as I would assume I like the other one.
Oh, okay. What did we tell them to say in the comments?
I don't think anything. I don't think we've said a single thing tonight.
No, I did say one thing to let us know in the comments, but now I can't remember what it was.
Oh, shoot. Well, tell us your favorite segment.
Tell us what I told you to tell me in the comments.
Yeah. Along with your favorite segment. Yes, I'm interested in knowing what your favorite segment is.
Tell Katie why I'm right and she's wrong.
Yeah.
And if you think Katie was right, I don't want to hear it. I'm just kidding.
Yep.
No, please tell us who you agree with, what your rankings are. Please feel free to like and subscribe. And we'll see you next week for Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Yay. Bye.
Bye.